Live from the crossroads of Southern food and culture, you're tuned in to Let's Eat, Y'all, the radio show that dishes on the people, places, ingredients, and events that define Southern food. Pull up a chair. It's time to taste more in your food with your host, food industry entrepreneur and co-founder of Eat, Y'all, Andy Chapman.
All right, so we're sitting in Delta Meat Market here in Cleveland, Mississippi. Welcome to Eat Y'all Radio. This is your host, Andy Chapman, and I'm with the man, the myth, the legend. He's everything in Cleveland, Mississippi, Cole Ellis, man. It's good to be here. It's good to be back in Cleveland, Mississippi. We had a great time last night, man.
Yeah, well, welcome back. We certainly have long awaited your return.
I know y'all are sending out petitions and all sorts of things to get us to...
keep Andy out, pro.
No, we had a for our listeners, we had a little impromptu Eat Y'all event just after a thunderstorm, and we cooked some burgers and some catfish on the Gourmet Guru Grill out in front of Cole's place here, Delta Meat Market. And Cole, kind of tell people what Delta Meat Market, like, describe your menu and sort of.
Well, we have a menu that's constantly evolving. We haven't quite figured out why yet, because I think it has to do mainly with the challenge that we enjoy of waking up every day and figuring out what we're going to have, what we're going to serve that week. The products we use are the same products we sell here in the store. Delta Meat Market originally was a full service butcher shop and grocery store. Now it's become a restaurant, full service catering business. Multi-conglomerates under one roof kind of operation.
And you've got in your meat case right now, you've got all your ribeyes and all those things, but fresh fish,
ribeyes, starting to source local beef. Got some great local pork out of Como, Mississippi. Seafood from the Gulf, and just trying to keep those shelves stocked.
This portion of the program brought to you by Visit Ridgeland and the Visit Ridgeland app. Now back to our guest.
We've been coming out to Cole's place for over a year, and it's getting more and more full of people, of great products, and it's pretty exciting to see this transformation. Now, Cole, you came from a place called the Hermitage in outside of Nashville. Tell our listeners why somebody with a great job in a culinary town that's known for food and things like that would come back to Cleveland, Mississippi.
Well, it was all a full circle experience for me. You know, me and my wife met in Charleston, South Carolina, and then moved to Nashville for a couple of years. And as part of getting our feet wet in Nashville, I was learning a lot about the business end of things to hopefully one day open up a shop of my own. So where we wound up 7 years later was leaving Nashville. Come here, we wanted to find a place to raise our daughter. She's almost two now, that we could emulate our childhood in a small town environment. So nothing against Nashville, but we just wanted to get back to the Mississippi Delta, get back to the roots.
Is this where your family is from?
Yeah, I spent 18 years of my life here, and my family is still here. And hopefully we'll be here for a while.
Well, that's great. Getting back to your roots, you trained under some chefs in culinary school, obviously, and then some of your jobs. What are some of the things that were your biggest takeaways from that training?
I mean, most of my culinary experience is definitely rooted to the kitchens that I've worked in. Although culinary school is a great place to get fundamentals, it's really in the job is where you get the know-how. And working for a wide variety of people in Charleston to grabbing some good business experience at the Hermitage in Nashville have kind of put me where I am.
Because I noticed when we've talked business stuff, you actually seem to have a handle on numbers and margins and costs and things. And I think a lot of times people may look at a restaurant from the artist side of things, especially, I mean, a lot of chefs are very artist left brain driven. But it seems like the most successful people in the business either have someone on their team that is completely numbers and metrics. And it seems like, you know, I'm not playing psychologist here, but just in our conversations, it seems like you have the creativity side, and then you've got that, okay, how can we stay in business side?
Well, you've almost got to have that even draw. I mean, without creativity, you won't have an exciting product, and without the numbers, you won't be able to sustain.
You won't be creative tomorrow. Product. It doesn't matter how. I've tried to tell people that before. I'm like, it doesn't matter how pretty your dish is if you can't charge enough for it and pay your bills on time so that you're doing everything. It's not going to work.
This portion of the program brought to you by Simmons Catfish. Visit SimmonsCatfish.com for more information. Now back to our guest.
We have some young chefs out there that want to get out on their own that listen to these. What would your advice to somebody who wants to hang their shingle out and open their own place be? In light of the fact that we already talked about employees not showing up this morning.
I would most certainly give it an experience first and go work at a restaurant. Challenge yourself at that restaurant. Really, really, really take heed to the things going on around you and make sure that's something you want to do for the rest of your life, because it is a lifelong commitment.
Would you say that going, if somebody thinks they want to open a restaurant or thinks they want to cook, would you say, okay, go to culinary school? Or would you say, you know, go find a place and work in the kitchen for 6 weeks, 6 months, see if you can handle it?
I definitely would try the school of hard knocks first. I most certainly would. I'd start at washing pots and pans, and then I'd work my own way up. Pay attention to everything around you. If it's something you want to do, it'll speak to you.
That's sage advice. And by the way, your pots and pan dishwasher last night, Johnny?
John, yeah.
John.
Big John.
Big John. He is doing that. He is paying attention to everything around him.
Oh, yeah.
And it was fun talking to him last night about, you know, he likes to cook some things, and he was, like, talking about his grilled cheeses and things he wants to do. And I love the fact that in this industry, Cole, it seems like you don't have to have the Culinary Arts Institute, Johnson & Wales pedigree. You've got to have something in your belly, that fire burning, and, you know, some street smarts to make it.
Determination for sure.
Yeah.
This portion of the program brought to you by your Southern Peanut Growers. Visit peanutbutterlovers.com for recipes and information about the perfectly powerful peanut.
Talk to me about downtown Cleveland and the challenges and the excitement. I mean, last night, for instance, we'll talk about the happy stuff first. Last night, it was like 5 o'clock. All of a sudden, people are just showing up. We're out there cooking, and I'm like, how many people are? Because it was a steady stream of people coming in here. How is this happy hour thing? What does that do for Delta Meat Market?
Well, initially our goal was to find a central point in Cleveland and anchor down and try to become a community-supported establishment. And happy hour is kind of proof that we're getting where we want to be with that. Happy hour started out about 6 to 8 months ago, where we were sitting around trying to think about how to introduce products to people who had never seen these products before. And one of the ways was, well, let's lure them in with free stuff. So happy hour initially started out, we were giving away free samples. We were letting people enjoy some beers, you know, kind of have a social gathering, if you will. And what it grew into was, well, me being the businessman that I am, I yanked the free stuff away from everyone and all of a sudden started selling them things. They became comfortable with the products. They got excited about it. And happy hour turned from a 10-person weekly ordeal to, what do you say, about 70 people yesterday?
Yeah, easily.
Maybe even 80, you know, coming and going. It's people, I guarantee you, there's a lot of people on Thursday that are sitting there saying, man, I can't wait till tomorrow. Not because I don't have to work on Saturday, but because it's meat market time. So, you know, we get a lot of the same faces over and over again. A lot of them are characters.
And you've got, I mean, you basically do craft beers. I mean, you have some other products too, but you've got, what is that, 6 taps behind you over there?
Yeah, we've got, currently we got 6 draft. We're specialty in craft beers. We have a few Mississippi brewed. We have a few of our favorites from near and far. We have a bottle selection of about 100 that's constantly rotating.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll interchange the things that, you know, that we can come across as frequently as possible, especially with the seasonality and, you know, what's fresh and what's new.
This portion of the program brought to you by Delta Blues Rice, artisan milled on a 4th-generation family farm in the Mississippi Delta. DeltaBluesRice.com.
When you look at where Delta Meat Market is now, and you kind of look out into over the horizon a little bit, and see how food is going and how local and lots of trends are going in the state and also the country, what does this look like down the road in your mind's eye 10 years out or so?
Well, it's already been a year in the making, and I can't look forward without looking a little bit back and saying, you know, we opened the doors with 2 meat counters or two, you know, Howard McRae meat coolers and a cutting board, you know, and where we are now is, you know, lines of some of the most high-end cookware down to the finest butcher blocks, kitchen supplies. we even carry Wagyu beef from time to time. We're definitely materializing and coming together as a business that we one day dream to, you know, finalize all these plans and move forward with it, maybe even open another one somewhere.
Do you feel like part of your job, Cole, is to educate consumers on the difference between what they may have bought and used in the past and what their whole options are?
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, we start with our employees and then we finish with the customers. If the guys around me don't know what we're doing, then there's no way to convey that message. It's impossible to explain to somebody why you're paying $3 to $4 a pound more for something that, you know, they can go get it at Kroger or Walmart, you know, or the bigger stores around here that have the cheaper prices.
Right.
The levels of quality surpass anything there. We try to keep anything. We actually more than try. We keep all the artificial things out of our food up here and are able to provide a whole food experience. And I don't mean like the grocery store itself, but buying foods that are in the raw state, you know, that aren't manipulated by GMOs or hormones or antibiotics or any of that sort of thing, and get it to consumers. Making those relationships every day and growing exponentially, we hope.
Yeah, it seems like every time we come back, it's bigger and bigger and bigger.
This portion of the program brought to you by the Gourmet Guru Grill. Find out why it's the only grill we use at our house at eatyall.com/grill, a ceramic grill built to be the last grill you ever need. Gourmet Guru Grill.
What did you say in the last, your entire chef career, what would be one of the biggest highlights or one of the biggest things, like, oh, this night was one of the best ever?
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty difficult one. Biggest nights from a culinary standpoint might have been Ringo Starr's 70th birthday at the Hermitage Hotel. That was pretty exciting. When you look up and you see Robert Plant and Jimmy Page and, I don't know,
that's Ringo Starr. That's kind of hard to top right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, Lionel Richie walks into the kitchen. You know, that's pretty crazy. Those are definitely the awesome times of the who's who. But I think one of the other greatest one was definitely stepping out and being my own boss, you know, trying that for a change. Though it's daunting at times, it's nice to dictate where you want to be in a couple of years at your own pace and,
yeah,
you know, with the support of the community.
We're gonna flip that script around. When, and I mean, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, I cook for this guy or this guy, but nobody, I have yet to interview anybody that's cooked for Ringo Starr.
Yeah,
for his birthday party.
It's pretty cool, and yeah, he actually hosted it at the Hermitage Hotel at the Capitol Grill. It was kind of neat.
Was Nashville just a flash of star after star after star through there?
I mean, it definitely seemed like it. For a while, you know, the Hermitage Hotel was the only boutique hotel, or like the only high-end hotel, which it is still the only five-star, five-diamond establishment, I think, in Tennessee. But, you know, it's definitely a gathering place for those sorts of people.
That's really cool. So there's a lot more star power going through maybe on a daily basis than here at Delta Meat Market.
Yeah, I'd say so, but not for long. With this Grammy Museum coming, there's definitely going to be an insurgent of many different talents coming through the Delta.
Talk about that for folks that don't know about the Grammy Museum in Cleveland and how that ties in.
Well, so being in the area or the home of the Mississippi Blues, it really was one of the spawning grounds for American music as you see it today. Rock and roll, as you know it, wouldn't be there without the blues in the Mississippi Delta or Mississippi in general. Also, the same is true with a lot of jazz musicians and other blues musicians. Well, people over in Los Angeles saw it the same way, so they decided that this would be a great place for the second Grammy Museum. The only other one is in L.A. It's a monstrosity of a building being erected. I'm sure it's going to be jam-packed with every single artifact found near and wide. Near and far, and we're pretty excited about having it.
Are there any estimates of the number of visitors that they think it will bring?
As far as what I've heard, I can only speak from an exponential standpoint. I mean, that's all that I know. I haven't seen any hard facts on it. Again, with ground just being broken a couple of months ago, it's kind of hard to determine. What I do know is that this town will grow from it. You know, downtown area Cleveland will stay prosperous and thrive.
Absolutely. And downtown Cleveland is, you know, so many downtowns you go through in small towns, and it's depressing, and it's like, oh, man, that closed, everybody moved out. And you come through Cleveland, and it's thriving, and there's lots of cool shops and things going on. And
yeah, we're pretty fortunate to be on the other end of that. We're growing where a lot of people are shrinking.
Yeah, that's always the side of the coin you want to be on.
Exactly.
All right, Cole, talk to me about your biggest regrets that you've had in this business, whether it be personal, culinary.
I think it'd probably be personal for sure. There comes a time when you don't get to spend enough time with your family. You know, there isn't even draw there, but sometimes you got to make decisions in life that you have to hunker down and get the job done.
Yeah. I think everybody can relate to that, because it's a balance of bringing home the bacon and being home to eat the bacon.
Fortunately, I make bacon.
Yeah, there you go.
This segment brought to you by Sugar Taylor Sauce, great for grilling, dipping, and adding a kick to any dish.
Visit eatyall.com/shop to learn more about Sugar Taylor sauce today.
We're visiting with Cole Ellis out here at Delta Meat Market on Eat Y'all Radio. One of my favorite things about Cole Ellis is his smokeability. And Cole does a lot of different smoked things. He's got a charcuterie program that he's been tinkering on. I haven't actually gotten to sample anything in forever, so you're slipping there. But
we need to do that.
Tell folks about what's going on in the smoking world.
Well,
in the curing world.
You name it, we can smoke it. we like to play around with different things. You know, we'll do anything from smoke our condiments before we put them on our sandwiches to just kind of dilly-dally and using it as a preservative. 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago, when we first started the idea of opening this place, I put up a couple of country hams. We've been pulling them out and trying them, sampling them here and there as things go along. So that's one cool thing in the charcuterie world. It's nice to harvest almost a year and a half old country ham.
So tell me the process for how to put up a country ham.
Well, back in the old day, you just had you a big hog killing. You applied a little salt, a little seasoning, whatever you want. I personally just like a little salt, brown sugar, and red pepper flakes. Let that fully cure, and then hang them in the house and smoke them.
All right, so when you say let that fully cure, I mean, I can't do this in my garage, can I?
you could. I don't think the health department recommends it, but you absolutely could.
So you just salt it, and that pulls the moisture out, and then...
Yeah, once that moisture's pulled out, you got a product that's safe, you know? You need to make sure once it's fully cured that you continue the process, smoke it, and let it age for a little while. Being in a community rooted with so many Delton Italians, it's kind of cool to hear their stories, too. There's a lot of people doing this already. I had a girl the other day bring me one of their family's prosciuttos that they had been aging for years. I don't know if it's arthritic or what, she was just decrepit and couldn't get the thing off the bone anymore, so she brought it in to me. We lobbed the end off the bone, we deboned it, and we shaved it up for her. So there's a lot of people already doing that. They're preserving their family's history, they're preserving the way things
That's
have
awesome.
Been for years, and we're just trying to participate alongside them. I've had many Delton Italians bring me lomo and salamis, and each one of them has their own variety of it. So it's kind of cool, you know. We're just participating.
That's awesome. This culinary kind of awakening that we're seeing is really exciting. And Cole, it's been fun to see your journey out here in Cleveland, and I know it's on chapter one, not chapter 10, so we're excited to see where that's going. I appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday morning to come up here and meet me, and we'll do it again, and we'll check in and see how things are going, man. Thanks for being on Eat Y'all Radio.
Well, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate it, and I can't wait till we get together again.
We'll do it.
Thanks for joining us at Let's Eat Y'all. Want more? Subscribe to us on iTunes or visit eatyall.com. That's EATYALL.com, where you'll find radio archives, interviews, recipes, live event tickets, and access to our favorite Southern products. Say hi on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Let's Eat Y'all. That's LETSEATYALL. Until next time, thanks for listening. Let's Eat Y'all.